Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
In the United Kingdom and in most of Europe, air ambulances are staffed by specialist doctors who go to the scenes of serious incidents to treat patients. Ireland is an outlier in that our air ambulance service favours treatment being administered by specialist paramedics. Well, our reporter Maura Fay has been meeting with some Irish doctors who think that if the Irish service was doctor-led, it may lead to better outcomes for the most critically injured. And Maura joins us now. So Maura, will you give us an overview of the air ambulance situation as it currently stands here?
So Claire, in medicine, air ambulances are commonly referred to as HEMS services. That stands for Helicopter Emergency Medical Service. In the Republic of Ireland, since its inception in June 2012, the HSE's HEMS service has operated a crewing model consisting of one specialist paramedic and one emergency medical technician. However, up the road in Northern Ireland, it's worth noting they have had a doctor-led HEMS service since 2017. The type of medicine practiced by HEMS doctors is called pre-hospital critical care, and it's the newest subspecialty in medicine. It requires complex and comprehensive training, and there are a growing number of Irish doctors who've done training in HEMS abroad and either remain working abroad or regularly commute from Ireland to the UK to work in a HEMS service. One such doctor is Mark Ruddy, who's a GP in Wicklow. He also does three shifts a month in the UK with the Lincoln and Notts Air Ambulance. I asked Mark how he became interested in pre-hospital critical care.
So I was always kind of interested in the ambulance service, and I thought I might be a paramedic. And then I realised you could do pre-hospital medicine as a doctor, although not in Ireland at the moment. So I think it's the purest form of medicine in that you have no tests, no investigations, no bloods, nothing like that on the roadside. So you're using your clinical acumen, and as well as diagnosing, you're treating. And it's a time critical environment, so it's, you know, things have to be done pretty quickly. So I think it's the purest form of medicine, and I think it challenges you. I think if you can be a good pre-hospital physician, you can be a good anything physician.
Does it take a lot of training to become qualified in pre-hospital medicine?
So there's no specific pathway, but you need to come at it with emergency medicine skills, anaesthetic skills, obstetric skills, and paediatric skills. So you need to have kind of a diverse skill set, because you could be faced with anything. You know, people don't pick the time and place of their emergency. So one minute you could be, you know, dealing with a six-month-old, and the next thing an 82-year-old could be hit by a bus. So you need to have a kind of diverse skill set. It's quite hard to get a job because people are quite interested in doing it. And it's also the turnover of staff is pretty low, because it's what people sign up to do medicine, don't they? To see people at their worst and try and make the biggest difference you can. But there's no defined training scheme. You just have to kind of generally have to be a senior doctor. So normally about 10 years of postgraduate experience, and you have to have ticked off all those boxes. So I went overseas to do a lot of my training. I did my anaesthetics in the UK. I got some skills in Australia and New Zealand that I use day to day as well.
That's Mark Ruddy there. Now, you spoke to another doctor who's from Northern Ireland, but very familiar with the helicopter emergency medical service.
Yes, Emer Quinn. She's from Belfast originally, but is now based full time in the UK. She works as an emergency medicine and major trauma consultant in Manchester, and she has been flying with the Northwest Air Ambulance since 2020. Again, like Mark, Emer is hugely passionate about pre-hospital care. She likes the variety it gives her in her work and a break from working in the hospital environment. She explained to me how the Northwest Air Ambulance Service works.
Essentially, we cover about 21, 22 hours of the day, and only one of those air ambulances carries a doctor. So the team is a doctor, critical care paramedic, and the other two are double critical care paramedics. So the cases that we would go to are basically the most ill and injured, adults or children, in the Northwest. So things like stabbings, cardiac arrests, major road traffic accidents, farming accidents. We would go to kind of anaphylaxis cases, big head injuries where people need to be put asleep, anywhere where there's been severe blood loss, that they might need a blood transfusion, or anybody that might need kind of emergency surgery.
One thing that Emer did want to stress is that no one is saying the current emergency medical service in Ireland is bad. She thinks it could just be added to and enhanced based on her and other doctors' experiences of advancements in pre-hospital care in the UK and elsewhere. She told me how their work is targeted at those that are the sickest and how the air ambulance service can help.
We put people to sleep for medically induced comas to protect their brain, which means that those patients who would live can now live a normal life and be at home and function normally. You know, we're doing open chest surgery for patients who have been stabbed and are in cardiac arrest, and patients have now gone home to their families alive, whereas before they wouldn't do if they didn't get that chest surgery by the roadside. You know, there's cardiac arrest survival rate is going up all the time because we are hugely advanced in what we're doing in the UK compared to what's being offered in Ireland. You know, we're doing invasive monitoring. You know, some services over here are doing, you know, invasive arterial blockage for, well, that's a bit advanced, but, you know, we are advancing rapidly over here, and our techniques are well established compared to what we have in Ireland. So it's not that it's a bad, it's just it's a good framework to start building and catch up with the rest of the world, because we are an outlier at the moment where we don't provide critical care to patients every single day. Now, there is critical care being provided by voluntary doctors, but it's not all the time. And, you know, that needs to happen all the time for those patients that really need it at that time. And, you know, if you go and look at any of the testimonials on the websites, you'll see that, you know, those patients are really grateful for us being there and us being available. You know, we've had survivors from patients who have put chainsaws through their chest, and there's been no documented survivors with those injuries in literature. And he's now home with his family. He doesn't have the function of his arm, but he's alive. You know, so I think it's building on the framework that we have to add advancements and add that extra layer of critical care for those patients who will really benefit from it.
Now, we know there are greater costs associated with hiring doctors. There's a shortage of doctors in certain areas in Ireland as well, more like, would there be a very large cost to the HSE if you had a doctor delivered HEMS in Ireland? And furthermore, could they find the doctors to staff it?
That's something I queried with Lisa Cunningham from Ballina in Mayo. She's an emergency medicine consultant at Mayo University Hospital, and every few weeks she flies from Knock Ireland West Airport to East Midlands Airport to do some shifts with the Link and Knots air ambulance. Lisa has been one of the most vocal campaigners for a physician delivered HEMS service in Ireland. It was actually in 2018 when the Irish government first got a letter from international experts calling for a physician led HEMS service to be introduced here. I asked Lisa if, based on her experience, did having doctors working on air ambulances result in increasing the cost of running the service?
Absolutely not. No, no. And that is the biggest misconception that I'm hearing from the senior stakeholders, actually from the National Ambulance Service, that, well, doctors cost a lot of money, so we're not putting you on the aircraft. In the UK, the majority of the air ambulances are actually charity. So we know to the penny how much every single piece of this costs. So we know exactly how much doctors cost. We know exactly how much the critical care paramedics. We know exactly about the pilots, the fuel for the helicopter, the equipment that's there. And we know that each time you lift an aircraft in the UK, it costs between about £3,500 to £4,000 to save somebody's life. When you take that then to Ireland, and they're saying that we don't have enough doctors, we don't have enough money for the doctors, etc. Remember that there's already funding that's already there for consultants in either emergency medicine, anesthesia or ICU, because they're the areas where the doctors will come from. So the funding is already there for doctors. So it doesn't make a difference whether we're going to be working in the hospital or whether we would work in an aircraft, maybe, you know, 1 or 2 days a week. The second point of that is that actually in Wales, they had a similar kind of argument to that, where they were saying, oh, we're too expensive to be taking them out, etc. But actually, it was shown to be a massive recruitment drive in the Welsh Air Ambulance, when they actually advertised their posts for me, say, you know, working 3 days a week in the emergency department and 2 days a week on the helicopter. It actually was a recruitment driver. They got a huge amount more interest from consultants coming from different countries to say, actually, that's the type of job that I want, that flexibility. We already have this in our HSC, where you may have a consultant who has, say, respiratory or gastroenterology. They are based in one hospital, but actually they have outpatient clinics in maybe 2 or 3 different peripheral hospitals or do scopes. It's the exact same idea of this. this patient that is injured in the road traffic collision out of Belmullet is going to be my patient in 2 hours' time if they come through the doors of the emergency department, if they survive it, to actually get to the hospital to me. So why not have a consultant in emergency medicine with pre-hospital train to actually get out there first and actually have them survived? And the next part of it is actually we will have the, I suppose, autonomy to be able to say, actually, the patient needs to go to the major trauma centre. So you will lift the patient from Belmullet and bring them to the major trauma centre, which is also another key difference that happens in Ireland versus the UK. We will bring the patients directly to the major trauma centre, not to a local hospital. If somebody has a brain injury, there's absolutely no point in bringing them to Mayo University Hospital, where we do not have neurosurgery, don't have the expertise that's needed, and then putting them on a 4-hour journey up to Beaumont or up to the Mat or to a major trauma centre.
That's Lisa Cunningham there. So you asked the HSE, Maura, about this. What did they say?
So almost a year ago, Taoiseach Simon Harris told it all that the HSE National Ambulance Service was about to commence a feasibility study of a doctor crew of doctors crewing the HEMS aircraft. Media reports at the time suggested that the study would last between 4 to 6 months. I asked the HSE for an update on where that feasibility study is at. They said the National Ambulance Service provides two dedicated HEMS responses in Ireland, one based in Athlone and another in Cork. In September 2024, the HSE commenced a feasibility study to examine the need for physician-delivered HEMS in Ireland. The preliminary results of the trial have not supported any change to HEMS crewing model. Hence, the trial period has been extended into 2025. I asked for clarity as to how far the trial period has been extended into 2025, and I'm told that it's ongoing.
Okay, thank you very much, Maura. That's Maura Fay reporting there. Plenty more still to come on the programme. In the next hour, neurologist Tim Lynch on the new research that adds weight to claims that there is a link between Parkinson's disease and pesticides. David Attenborough's impact on our understanding of the natural world as he releases his latest film at the ripe old age of 99. But next, shock news as our own Dr. Mike Ryan is dropped from the World Health Organization's executive team amid cost-cutting measures. We'll talk about that next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.